Welcome to Bedhampton Church. Contact us at www.bedhampton.church. But for now, let's continue that journey with this input.
Hi, it's Max here. Just wanted to apologise about the quality of the audio on this sermon. There's a bit of an echo in the background, but actually I think the content is so important for us as a parish. I've published it anyway because I think the content is the focus. So my apologies, and here we go.
I want to thank you. To thank you for all of you who serve, or who serve in our community, to those who serve coffee. I particularly want to thank you to those who serve coffee. That's a personal thing, though. Thank you to those who serve the sick, to those who prepare services and put out chairs, to those who serve in the food bank, to those who serve in the children's work. I want to thank you for all that you do, and so many more that I haven't mentioned. I want to thank you to those of you who give money to God's work here in Bedhampton, to those of you who give a percentage of your income to our work here, to those of you who give a great deal, to those of you who give a little, to those of you who give what you can. I want to thank you. Today's talk is not ever my favorite talk. No, the talk on serving and giving is never my favorite talk. You've probably noticed that in the past. Of course, why is that? Well, doesn't the church always want you to do more? Doesn't the church always want your money? Doesn't the church always talk about these things? Well, the fact that I haven't spoken about this for over 2 years, you know, let's not let the facts get in the way of a good story, you know. I mean, that is the perception, isn't it? But knowing that I was going to be talking about serving and giving today, I did have a look into our serving and giving here. I delved, obviously, into the Bible and dragged out Bible verses to convince you that serving is a key part of your walk with Jesus. And I delved in more and listened to other preachers and did some theology research to convince you and persuade you that actually giving is a reflection of your love for God. And then last Sunday, something happened. Something happened that made me want to switch the focus of what I was going to share with you today. But I've still got to give you the serving and giving talk. So here it is in 1 minute, okay? My serving and giving talk in 1 minute. Are you ready? You better be ready for this, I tell you. If I can find the actual serving and giving talk, that'd be helpful, wouldn't it? Right, here we go. 90% of service in this church is done by 10% of the people. Might be a good idea to share that round a bit more, maybe. Servant equals loving people. We are called to love God and love people. Okay? Our reflection of our servant is loving people. Each of us, St. Paul says, should give what we have decided in our heart to give, not reluctantly or because the rector says so. No, he doesn't say that. He says, give with a cheerful heart, doesn't he? So that's number three. Number four, we're getting there. This one blew me away. If each of us was to give on top of what we already give, the cost of a pint of beer, the cost of a glass of wine, or even a small box of chocolates a week, our income as a church would go up by 25%. Can you imagine what God could do with 25% extra in Bedhampton? Okay. And lastly, I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for what you give, both financially and what you give in service. Any chance you could do a little bit more? That's my sermon in 1 minute. There you go. Right? So you've had the giving and thank you very much. You're allowed to encourage the rector. That's okay. So good that even Joy came back in for it. That is my giving service. Because that now gives me the opportunity, combined with the leaflet that you got on the way in. If you look at the leaflet, reflect on that, I can now talk to you about what I think God laid on my heart really to talk to you about. Because it all started last Sunday. Last Sunday it began as Susie and I went up to Feltham to our grandson's baptism. Andy, the vicar at Jesse and James's church, did an amazing job at welcoming us by name and being slightly more, even than me, overly enthusiastic about baptisms. It was wonderful. It was actually a glorious moment as I watched my daughter and her husband lift their son to God. I know what's coming your way, Julie. And it nearly brought me to tears. And then, as they returned to their seats, God completely blew me away. Rudy, the curate, got up and invited 12 other people to be baptized. They were going to be baptized by full immersion, which we have done ourselves at St. Thomas's now. Thank you, Lord. And these 12 people got up. And then Rudy said to them, one or two of them, would you share your story about why you want to be baptized? And even before the interpreter, because they are Iranian refugees, but even before the interpreter translated from Farsi into English, the tears did flow in me because God's Spirit was on the move. Chap looking at his phone is busy sharing his testimony, and he's made some notes. And they shared of their gratitude to our Father God. They shared of how God's Spirit had moved in their physical and their spiritual journey here. And that their response of the heart was to turn to Jesus and be baptized. No mean feat when you're Iranian. These refugees barely have more than they're standing up in. They live in refugee hotels. And let's be real, they are not welcomed by everyone. They will impact the finances of that church not one iota in the positive direction. They'll probably impact them in the negative direction. And yet, as I watched them be baptized, I felt the Spirit move, fall upon that place, and God remind me just how much He loves them beyond measure. They had committed to God the only thing that He ever asked us to do. They committed to God. God was on the move. Hearts were turned to Him, and it was a holy moment. After the service, we gathered for food. Everyone brought food. And we gathered to celebrate both these guys and Caleb. And I was sitting there enjoying the food and just slightly overwhelmed with what God had done and reflecting actually also on the previous week when God did something else. You see, in the previous week, you may not be aware of this, but in the previous week, we'd been hearing stories out of the USA of God moving throughout the universities of the USA. It started in Asbury University. And then I got a message while I was sat there having the food from one of you guys. And that person said, "Our words to this effect." I haven't literally written down what she said, but it's words to the effect of, "Our granddaughter is a student in the US. The movement of the Holy Spirit is going throughout the universities. Please pray." It's a grandmother's plea, isn't it? "Please pray for her heart to be turned to Jesus." The NBC network reported this. A Christian service at a college chapel in Kentucky has ballooned into a non-stop prayer and worship session that some are calling revival. And people are traveling thousands of miles to take part in it after seeing it on TikTok, the internet. I confess to you, my friends, when I first heard about this, the cynicism in me assumed that some on-it pastor had hired a stadium, got a big preacher in, got a massive band in, lots of smoke, had whipped up the students into a frenzy and had them turn to Jesus. I confess that before you now because they hadn't. It's a simple college. It was a simple chapel, much like this one. It was a simple service, much like this one. And when it finished, just a few students decided to stay and pray and worship God a bit longer. They stopped over a week later after thousands had rejoined them to do that. As I sat munching my way through the food that had been provided for me, God reminded me that there was no razzmatazz, there was no perfect setting, there was no massive band. It was simple, simply people who had a heart for God, and his heart turned to them. And it's impacting across all the young people of the US. I am convinced there has been millions of dollars, thousands of guitar strings, liters of smoke spent on trying to share the love of Jesus to the young people of America, and yet all it took was half a dozen people with a heart for God. It was a holy moment. God was moving, and people are turning to him. And then we headed off home, coming down the A3, completely overwhelmed by this point, of course, and I'm very quiet in the car. And you know how when you wanted to be quiet, guys, sometimes your wife won't allow you to be quiet? Susie kept saying to me, "Are you okay? What are you thinking?" And I'm like, "I'm driving." I've been driving and praying for some time by the time we hit Liphook or whatever it was, Hindhead. And I've been pleading with God, as I was actually yesterday when I was on a pilgrimage walk, pleading with God for his spirit to come and just wipe through Bedhampton. Start with us, start with me, you know. And then God said to me, "Toilet." Now, for those of you that don't know, although most of you might assume what the link is here, since I've been here, and over the last couple of years, there's been a lot going on to do with toilets in this place, hasn't there? And I've got to have the picture of the toilet, haven't I? So. I've been here for 5 years this coming April, would you believe? Where's that gone? But over the last couple of years, a lot's been going on with toilets. When I first arrived in here and I walked around St. Nick's, I foolishly said to someone, "I wouldn't want to invite my worst enemy to use those toilets." Now, that was foolish because many people immediately after that told me exactly why those toilets were like that, how they'd been trying to change them for 30 years, and there was no hope of it ever happening, so I might as well get over it. I heard it from more than one person. Of course, you know the truth. The toilets are now done. The builders will be back shortly after to do the snag list. That's quite a normal process. You do it with a building, you have a snag list, and they come back and put what's gone wrong. And it's been tackled. Because I knew that the toilets were more than the toilet. The toilets were a spiritual issue in our lives here. How could we ever believe that God could move in Bedhampton when we couldn't even believe that he could change a few toilets? And yet he did. And you know, as we headed into that, people were saying, "We can't find the money, we won't be able to find the money. We can't commit the money that we've got in reserve, we need to keep hold of that." And I quickly worked out that actually, even with all of our reserves, even with us working, and many people worked hard on that, we were going to need £40,000 worth of loans. And some of you know this because we did put out a request for loans, didn't we? And some of you kindly said, "Yes, we can do that. On top of our giving, we can also give a loan." Well, the toilets are finished, and we're in the black. We've broken even. Yes, we've used most of our reserves. Yes, people have worked really hard. But if I'm honest, guys, I don't know how it happened. There's no logical way that we should now not be in 40 grand's worth of debt. And as I drew into Petersfield, God said, "When you step out on faith, I am there." It's not like he just said that. He demonstrated it. I believe it's a holy moment. It seems daft to say, but I believe that the toilets are a holy moment. God is moving in our hearts. People are turning to him. I want to tell you more stories of people turning to him. There are many stories of people turning to him. You know, frying up a few sausages and blokes who have been ignoring Jesus for the whole of their life turning to him, and more stories coming. People walking into the building and saying, can you help us for a moment? And then when they come here, seeing Jesus in you, families seeing Jesus in you and turning their hearts to him. I get phone calls now. I don't know where they come from. Can you talk to me about Jesus? Well, I'm a bit busy right now. But when they come, seeing Jesus in you and turning to him. Guys, this is a holy moment in Bedhampton. People are turning to Jesus. Because that's why I needed to talk to you today about this. Not about serving and giving. I've never had a problem about serving and giving. It always made sense to me. We're not funded by the central government. Even as a church, we're not funded by the Church of England. It made sense to me that those who walk with Jesus together would serve together. It made sense to me that those who walk with Jesus together would give together. It just made sense. Not that I always did it, but it made sense. But the day that I committed my life properly to Jesus, the day that I turned my heart towards him, the day that I reached out in faith, was the day that actually that sense went from my head to my heart, from my heart to my hands, and to my wallet as well. Because God is moving. And so when he spoke to me about this last week, I thought, yes, that's what I want. I want to celebrate before the Lord. I'll become even more undignified than this. I will stop worrying about what you guys think of me, what my brothers think of me, what someone walking down the street thinks of me, and I will worship my Lord with all my heart, even to the point of being undignified. That's what I want for you. I don't want your money. I don't want your service. That will come the day that we become so undignified in our worship for God, people can't mistake who we're committed to. There are blokes out there that want a challenge. There are ladies out there that need more, that want a challenge. The challenge is follow Jesus with your whole heart. Commit to him and see what he does. I was on pilgrimage yesterday, walking with some friends, and I walked most of the day on my own, even though I was in a group. And I was just, you've heard it, I was just pleading to God, come have your way again. And as we come into the end of the day, I'm walking down this path with one of those avenues where the trees go over, isn't it? And I felt God say, just keep walking. You're going in the right direction as a church. I will encompass you with my spirit. We're beginning to see the fruits of our prayers. God has plans for Bedhampton. There is a future here. We're seeing the first spring sprouts coming through, aren't we? Literally, well, what a time to hear that story now in spring. There is a future of God in Bedhampton. Don't believe the press. God is bigger than that. His death has been predicted before. And don't believe the story that you've been walking in the last decade or so. God is at work. And now, my friends, I want you to consider, what is your part? What is your story? I want you to pray to God. What is my story? He doesn't care about your money. He doesn't care about yourself. Turn your heart to him. Step into the faith he has for you. He loves you more than you could possibly imagine. And I know you hear me say that when I give you communion. Believe it. He wants you for you. So this Lent, take some time to ask God, what is my part in your story? Turn your heart to him. Be faithful and committed because he loves you. Amen.
You have been listening to Bedhampton Church. Our prayer is that this helps you journey with Jesus and serve your community by sharing God's love and friendship. Subscribe and join us for more discussion at www.bedhampton.church. All material Creative Commons copyright. Contact us for more details.